Hey,
are you listening?
When you find yourself in danger, when you're threatened by a stranger, when it looks like you will take a licking, there is someone waiting who will hurry up and rescue you. Just call
OTR Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, as responsible parents, you never think of allowing your children to play with poison. And as responsible Americans, it's your duty to protect them from the dangers of the poison we call prejudice. Here in America, racial and religious hatred does exist, sustained by the political adventurers and plain crackpots who are willing to scrap the democratic way of life to attain their own ends. Prejudice in America is centered in their addled philosophy. But unless we guard ourselves and our families, it can find its way into our own lives. Then the poison would do its work, undermining America's unity, sabotaging our prestige abroad, and wrecking our ideal of individual freedom. In your family life, you can effectively carry on a campaign against prejudice. Our youngsters grow up with a pride in their country. Teach them that part of that pride is our tradition of accepting or rejecting people on their individual worth, not on the basis of race or religion or color. Remember, freedom and prejudice can't exist side by side. If you choose freedom, fight prejudice.
Hey, everyone. This is OTR Rob welcoming you to a do-over episode. I'm doing for Richard Diamond, Private Detective, and for Rocky Fortune, and for a Christmas episode of The Saint, and another Christmas episode of The New Adventures of Nero Wolf. Yeah, I had to change some stuff around. And so it won't screw up what you're going to listen to. Really good stuff all the way around. And all of these episodes come from NBC. And the Saint episode, the Christmas episode, is called The 19 Santas. And the Christmas episode of The New Adventures of Nero Wolf is entitled Slaughtered Santas. Not exactly an appetizing title for Christmas time. I haven't heard the episode, but I don't know. We'll see how it turns out. Anyway, and enjoy the episode of Richard Diamond, Private Detective, The Van Dyke Seance Case. Enjoy that, and Rocky Fortune, and The Saint, and The New Adventures of Nero Wolf, and I'll see y'all back here next week if, God willing, and the creeks don't rise too much. At least don't go over the bridges, whatever you do. Anyway, enjoy all of these shows, and have a great week.
Here is another in NBC's great parade of new shows. As Richard Diamond, Private Detective.
Hello there, this is Diamond. I'm a private detective. As long as I've been in this business, I've found only four things that really make this racket worthwhile. Women, money, women, and more money. Don't misunderstand me, I've got other habits too. I drink lots of milk, go to the fights, dance meanest rumbo west of Ebbets Field and write fan letters to June Ellison. But no matter how you slice it up, it still boils down to the same ghastly facts. To drink the gallons of milk, you've got to have loot. To go to the fights, you've still got to have it. But you add a little something, or a big something, as the case may be. That's right, a woman. Then if you're going dancing, you like to go to a nice place. Nice place? That's an 8x10 dance floor supported by bodies of patrons who couldn't pay the $12 minimum. So now you get into more money, and there you are. Women, money, more women, and more money. About the fan letters to June Allison? Who knows? She never writes back anyway. To show you how I make this money that gets me into so much trouble, let me tell you about a case I got mixed up in. It all started last week during a seance.
Quiet, please, quiet. Now, if you will please place your hands on the table, Mrs. Van Dyke. Lightly, just the fingers touching.
Dr. Langley, I'm so excited.
Please, Mrs. Van Dyke. Professor must have complete silence.
Oh, I'm sorry, but what's he doing?
He's going into his trance.
Dr. Langley.
He's contacted the outer circle.
I feel your presence. Who are you?
Myrna. Doctor, that voice is calling me.
Not too loud. You'll break the contact.
But Myrna's my first name.
Listen.
Spirit, speak again. Who are you?
I am Lillian Van Dyke.
Oh, that's Mother. Mother! Mother!
Mrs. Van Dyke, you must relax. If you continue to disturb the contact, your mother will leave.
I'm sorry.
Oh, Spirit, I feel that you have a message for someone in this room. Spirit, have you such a message?
I have.
Then speak.
Myrna.
Oh, yes, Mother?
You are in grave danger. Guard yourself. Rely on Dr. Langley. He will help.
Yes, Mother. What else? Mother?
Contact has been broken. Your mother will not return again today.
Oh, will I be able to speak with her again, Professor? I must speak with her again. She said I was in some kind of danger.
If you will return here tomorrow, Mrs. Van Dyke.
Mother said to rely on you, Doctor. I intend to.
I assure you, your confidence will be rewarded, Mrs. Van Dyke. In the meantime, I suggest you go home and get some rest.
Yes, this experience has been rather trying. Goodbye, Professor. I shall see you tomorrow.
Until tomorrow, dear lady.
Coming, Doctor?
I wish to consult with the professor for a moment. I'll be right along.
Very well, Doctor. I'll wait in the car. Goodbye again, Professor, and bless you.
Goodbye, and bless you, you old goat.
Take it easy. Little she gets out the front door.
Okay. Now look, Langley, when are we going to pull the job? I'm getting tired of drumming up banshees for old money bags. Let's get those jewels.
Look, tomorrow her mother is going to tell her that someone is after her precious jewel collection.
Tell her? She'll lock him up in Fort Knox if that happens.
Oh, I'm surprised at you, Professor. What if her dear old departed mother tells her to leave them with me for safekeeping?
I get it. By the time she gets wise, we'll be in Mexico.
Right. I'll see you tomorrow morning before Van Dyke gets here. We'll plan what we want the voice to say. And for Pete's sake, tell that old witch to sound like a ghost for a change. She came on today like Apple Mary with a hangover.
Diamond?
That's right. Come on in, but watch the clothesline.
Oh, you've been washing. Aren't these a little loud?
You should stop around when I'm doing socks.
My name is Van Dyke, Mr. Diamond. Nancy Van Dyke.
Miss?
Mm-hmm.
Well, bully for our side. What can I do for you, Miss Van Dyke?
I'm worried about my aunt, Mr. Diamond.
Why? Is she playing shortstop for Brooklyn?
I don't think I understand that.
You're not alone, but I have to keep trying. Why are you worried about your aunt, Miss Van Dyke?
Well, lately she's been seeing a man who calls himself Dr. Langley.
Uh-huh. Are you of the Long Island Van Dykes?
We used to live on Long Island. Why?
Well, if you're the same family, you say piggy bank instead of U.S. Mint.
We are quite wealthy.
Uh-huh. That's like saying Scarface had a gun collection. You think this Dr. Langley is after your aunt's money, is that it?
Yes. He's been taking her to see a clairvoyant, and she claims that he produced her dead mother and that she talked with her.
Maybe she's been getting tips on the market.
My aunt says that this apparition, or whatever it is, warned her of impending danger.
What's the medium's name?
He calls himself Professor Leonardo.
Uh-huh. What else did the ghost have to say?
Well, she said, or it said, to trust Dr. Langley, and that's exactly what my aunt started to do. She even consults him on matters of business. He's completely sold her on this phony Professor Leonardo, and unless I miss my guess, he's got a wandering eye for her jewelry collection. She had it out, and she was showing it to him last evening.
What do you want me to do?
I want you to prove that this Dr. Langley and the professor are charlatans.
Well, in my business, charlatan is a nice word. These guys are either legit or phony. So if you want me to find out, the fee is $100 a day in expenses.
Well, I'll give you a retainer. Is $200 all right?
Have you ever seen $200 that wasn't? What's your aunt's name and address?
Mrs. Myrna Van Dyke, 326 Park Avenue. There's your $200, Mr. Diamond.
Thank you.
If you prove these men are phonies, please report it to my aunt. Then stop by my place, and I'll pay you the rest of your fee. 741 Madison Avenue?
Miss Van Dyke, did you ever model bathing suits?
No, Mr. Diamond. But I have a very nice one. I got it in the south of France last season. I'll show it to you sometime.
I hope it won't be on a hanger. Goodbye, Miss Van Dyke. Well, I had 200 fat clams in my little hot hand and an assignment that didn't look like it was going to be too tough to crack. I needed some information on the professor and the doctor, so I headed for the 5th Precinct Police Station and Walt Levinson's office.
Yeah, what is... Oh, no. What do you want, Shamus?
Why, Sergeant Otis, what would the lieutenant say when he finds your big feet all over his desk?
He won't say nothing. He ain't here.
Well, how'd you ever figure that out? Where is he?
Out of town.
Doing what?
Doing his vacation, that's what.
Don't tell me he left you in charge.
Yeah. What's the matter with that?
If you've got a few days, I'll tell you about it. Leaving you in charge of homicide is like stopping a leaky faucet with bubble gum.
I ain't in charge of homicide, wise guy, but I could do it if I had to. He just asked me to watch his office and take the call.
He'd get better results with a parrot. Well, I want some information, Sergeant. Who do I see?
Me.
I could see more in a barrel of mud.
Now, you better lay off, Gumshoe. I got instructions to throw you out if you get out of line.
Oh, Sergeant, it's nothing personal. You've got beautiful eyes, and, oh, I love all three of them. It's just that you're obnoxious.
Well, okay. But you start calling me any nasty names and you go out of here,
Sergeant.
Well, you do. Now, what do you want?
I want your file on Bunko Artis.
Okay. You gonna look up some of your relatives?
Oh, that was a real garter snapper, Sergeant.
Yeah, here's the file.
You can do me one more favor. Look up Professor Leonardo. He's a spiritualist.
Oh, drunk, huh? All right, I'll get the file.
Oh, no, Sergeant. In the phone book. He's like a fortune teller.
Oh, one of them guys.
That's right. Well.
Find something?
Yeah, I was looking for this guy, too.
Let's see. Dr. R.L. Langley. Here is Dr. Fred Bishop. Here is Dr. Leopold Karnowski. Hey, this guy's been busy. 2 convictions. Bunko artist. According to this, the guy goes after old dames and gives them a good fleecing.
You're positively brilliant, Sergeant.
Ah, it ain't nothing.
It is when you do it. Did you find the phone number of the professor?
Yeah, right here. Professor Leonardo, fortune teller, and clairvoyant. Okay.
Oh, want to use the phone?
Sure. Only leave a nickel.
I wish I had your nose full of them.
Professor Leonardo's psychic sanctuary.
My name's Appleknocker, Harold Appleknocker. I'd like to make an appointment with Professor Leonardo.
Just what seems to be your problem?
Well, you see, it's like this. I have a 1,000-acre hog ranch in Kentucky, and last week my brother Oney got lit up on juniper juice and fell in a waller. It was a pretty deep one, and he done drowned. I was wondering if you could fix it so I could talk with him.
Who recommended you to us?
Ain't nobody recommended nothing. I just looked it up in the phone book.
Well, the professor is rather busy, and his time is expensive. I'm afraid...
Oh, shuckins. I ain't worried about money or nothing. I make $40,000 a year just off in the hogs, not to mention the still I got going back on the hills.
Still?
Yeah, I got it camouflaged. Only time a revenue ever got suspicious was when he saw the moon on the door. It was backwards.
The price is $50 a reading, and $100 if the professor is able to contact your brother.
Fine. I'm going to be busy at the stockyards this afternoon, and I'd like to drop around this evening if I could.
How would 8 o'clock be?
Just dandy.
Goodbye, then, Mr. Appleknocker.
Bye, you all.
Hey, what's going on?
I'm going to have my fortune told, Sergeant. If you want to come along, you can put your shoes if you want to, and come along. Come on, John, come on.
You're nuts.
Oh, you're just lonesome. Bye, y'all.
I left the 5th Precinct and headed for 975 Park Avenue. The way the case looked to date, I was going to be working that night, and my lovely redhead would be unhappy if she had to sit home. Sometimes you get a case that's fun, and this looked like one of those times, so I decided to take Helen with me to Professor Leonardo's.
Rick, a fortune teller?
Yeah, he brings the dead back, too. Want to go?
If he doesn't dig up some of your old jokes.
Oh, you are a vicious female. Just for that, old Harold Appleknocker is going to show up alone.
Harold Appleknocker?
Yep, raise hogs. You know, this little figure went to market.
Rip that tickle.
Don't you and Sergeant Otis ever wear shoes?
Oh, I like to run around in my bare feet. It's hot.
Oh, it's only 90. What would you do on the Sahara? Don't answer that.
What time are we due at this spook parlor?
Oh, 8 o'clock. That's 2 hours. In the meantime, let's start a little seance of our own. First, you start by holding hands.
Rick.
Yes. Oh, are you Mr. Appleknocker?
Oh, yep, that's me, and this here's my girl, Lulabelle.
Howdy.
Yes. Well, won't you come in? Professor Leonardo isn't back yet, but if you'll just be seated in here, he should be in at any moment.
Well, just look at this here room. What are all them figures all over the wall?
Those are the signs of the zodiac.
Hey, look at there, Harold, that's a goat.
Well, so it is. Bless my little pointed head. Used to raise goats, too, along with the hogs.
That's the professor now. Good evening, Professor.
Good evening, good evening. Oh, this must be Mr. Appleknocker.
Appleknocker, Professor. And this here's my girl.
Lulu Bell.
Yep, that's right.
Howdy.
Yes. Well, Mr. Appleknocker, I understand you want me to contact your dear departed brother.
Well, he wasn't so dear, but he sure done departed. Fell in the pig waller.
Of course. Now, if you just take these chairs around this table...
Where do you want them to go?
No, no. I mean, sit in them. You right here, Mr. Appleknocker, and you right next to him,
Lulabelle.
Yes, Lulabelle.
Howdy.
Yes, howdy. I mean, if you please, turn off the light.
Yes, Professor.
Hey, Lulabelle.
Yeah?
This is fun, ain't
it? Yeah.
Now, I must have complete silence, please. Did you laugh, Mr.
Lulabelle?
Yes, Lulabelle.
Howdy.
Never mind. Now, silence, please. I'm going into a trance. I call to the world beyond. I wish to speak to the spirit of only Apple Hanger.
Appleknocker.
Correction, the name is Appleknocker.
Lulabelle.
Howdy.
I feel your presence. Who are you, spirit? Speak.
I'm Oney Appleknocker.
Well, Oney, how the deuce are you?
Please, you break the contact.
Well, ain't it okay if I ask him a few questions?
It's not the usual procedure, but we seem to be establishing a precedent tonight. Go ahead.
Hey, Oney, you remember Lulabelle, don't you?
Yeah, howdy, Lulabelle.
I'm very happy to make your acquaintance again, Oney.
Mr. Appleknocker, you must not laugh at the spirits.
Applehunker.
Applehunker?
And Lulabelle.
Yes, yes, I know.
Howdy.
Now, wait just a moment. What's going on here? Turn on the lights.
What's the matter?
These two people are laughing.
Oh, I'm sorry, Professor. But I think you've been taken for that well-known ride.
You mean this is some kind of a practical joke?
I don't know how practical it is, but it sure got a laugh.
Professor, their accents.
Yeah, they went out when poor Oney jumped up from the pig waller.
Oh, I see. Well, look here, young man. I don't see the humor, and it's going to cost you just $100 for this laugh.
Oh, it is, huh?
Yes, or you're going to walk out of here on crutches.
That's the funniest thing you said all night.
What do you want, anyway?
I just wanted to find out how phony you were. Now, you ought to be ashamed, taking advantage of old ladies like Mrs. Van Dyke.
Professor.
Shut up. Who are you?
The name's Diamond. Look me up sometime. I'm in the phone book under detectives. Come on, Helen. I've got to go see the old girl and wise her up to this louse. Helen and I left the professor and his witch and went out on the street. I hailed a cab and put Helen in it and sent her home to wait for me. 20 minutes later, I was ringing the doorbell of the Van Dyke residence. I stopped ringing and tried my knuckles, and that's when I noticed that the door was ajar. I pushed it open and walked in. I stopped cold in my tracks. The hair on my neck jumped off and hid in the corner. Lying on the bed was what looked like a body. I couldn't tell because it was covered with a sheet. I was sure of one thing. Whatever it was bleeding all over the place. And the first word that came to my mind was murder. I pulled the sheet back and took a look at what could only have been Mrs. Myrna Van Dyke. She was about 60 and she was wearing a quilted house coat. She didn't have to worry about trying to button it because it was pinned together at the neck with a long knife.
Well, Diamond, you sure can dig him up, can't you?
Huh? Oh, Otis, how did you get here?
After you left the station, I called the lieutenant and told him you'd been in and you was acting screwy. He told me to tell you. Now I'm glad I did.
Oh, mess, isn't it?
Yeah, stabbing through. Looks like she was getting ready for bed. That's a towel around her head, ain't it?
Could be her hair, but I doubt it. It says Adams Hotel on it.
Let's take a look around.
Oh, hey, get a load of this.
What?
Over here on the dressing table.
Hey, ain't that a wig?
It sure is. I want to look at the body again.
You can't do that. You ain't supposed to touch anything.
I'm just taking off this towel. Well.
She's bald.
Yep, nearly. Otis, check on Professor Leonardo and Dr. Langley.
They the guys you picked out of the Rogues Gallery this morning?
Yeah.
I already did. The doc lives on Charles Street, apartment 209.
You mean you did all that by your little lonesome?
Well, when I talked to the lieutenant, he told me to, just in case.
You continually amaze me, Sergeant.
Yeah. Okay.
Now call the wagon and get the coroner over here. Then get some of the boys to pick up the phony professor.
Where are you going?
Over to the good doctor's house. The body's been dead about an hour. That would make it between 7 and 8. Now you see if the professor's got an alibi and I'll check back here.
Hey, I don't know whether I'll let you go or not.
Sergeant?
Yeah?
Bye. I went out and grabbed another cab for Charles Street. It was dark out and the heavy fog was rolling in and staking a claim on the city. By the time I reached the doctor's, it was thick enough to be sliced up and sold in large economy cartons. The doc didn't answer my knock, so I went in anyway. I stumbled into a little two-room joint that looked like a chick sales architectural achievement. The doctor was not home, and neither were his clothes and toothbrush, so I started casing. I tore the place apart and came up with a big fat zero, but that was before I looked in the waste paper basket. Among the trash, I found a rental bill for a hangar and an airplane at the flyaway airport on Long Island. I grabbed the phone and called Sergeant Otis.
Yeah?
Otis, this is Diamond.
Oh, the boys are here now. You were right about the time of death, around 7:30.
What about the professor?
We sent a car over to pick him up, but he skipped. We got some dame, though, and she told us that the prof was giving one of them seances from 7 to 8.
Did you check it?
Yeah, and you was.
Good. Now check and see who gets the dead woman's money in the event of her death.
Well, how am I going to find her lawyer this time of night?
Just find him and meet me at the flyaway airport on Long Island.
Okay. Did you get the doctor?
That's what I'm going to do now. And if this fog keeps up, I've still got a good chance. Sometimes a case starts off like a party and ends up like a funeral. This was one of those times, and when it happens, you're never really prepared for it, so you've got to work fast. I used my last $10, besides the $200 the girl had given me, and got to Flyaway Airport in a hurry. The fog was so heavy, I had to almost kick it aside. But I finally found the row of hangars and started looking. I reached the last hangar when I spotted the plane. It was sitting on the strip, and as I moved nearer, I could see the man.
Who's there? Who is that?
I got a gun out, Doctor. So just stand the way you are.
Who are you? What do you want?
I want that little suitcase you've got. I want to take you back to the police.
Police? Oh, what on earth for?
Mrs. Van Dyke is dead, been murdered.
Oh.
Oh, now, come on, stop there.
Why, I know nothing about the killing. I swear I had nothing to do with it.
What's in that suitcase?
Why, just some clothes.
Not the Van Dyke collection of jewels?
Of course not. What would I want with them?
Mrs. Nancy Van Dyke seemed to think you did.
Oh, that's absurd. Here, you can look at the bag if you like, sir.
Well, I'd like. Let's take a walk over here where we can see some light.
If you insist.
Where were you between 7 and 8 this evening, Doctor?
Why, I was at home.
Ah, now, you're a two-time loser. If you're lying, they'll wash your mouth for 20 years.
You know about my record, do you?
Looked it up this afternoon.
Well, I suppose I may as well tell you.
I wasn't home until nearly 8.
Where were you?
Mrs. Van Dyke's apartment. I was supposed to put her jewels in the downstairs vault.
What happened?
She was dead when I got there.
You sure she was dead?
Yes. Lying on the bed under a sheet. Pulled it back, saw she'd been stabbed in the throat. I left, packed, came out here. I knew I'd be accused, but I didn't do it.
Hold it. Here's a light. Well, if the jewels are in this bag, you're going to be in a tough spot.
You're welcome to look.
Thanks, Lord.
Oh!
Whatever it was, it caught me across the back of the head, and I went down like a dead palm tree in a hurricane. It wasn't the doctor who had lowered the boom, but someone who had sneaked up in the fog and gotten around behind me. I wasn't knocked out, and I could still hear things, so I just lay there and listened.
Oh, thank goodness you came along. He was going to take me to the police because someone had killed Mrs. Van Dyke and stolen her jewels. He thought I had them. What are you doing? No! No! No!
I rolled over and looked at the doctor. He was very dead. I got up as fast as I could and started after the killer, but in that fog, it was like looking for a hangnail in a mineshaft. I went into one hangar after another, and I guess if you keep after it long enough, sometimes you get lucky. I went into the last hangar and stopped to listen. Okay, you, come on out. If I have to come in after you, it's going to be the hard way. Well, you're the boss. Now, why don't you stop it? You can't see me any better than I can see you, but I've got the door covered. Now, come on out. If I guess right, that's one big sergeant, and he's so stupid he's liable to shoot you.
Diamond! Diamond, where are you?
In here, Otis. Watch your step. We're playing cops and robbers.
You, what do you mean? What are you talking about? Holy cow!
You all right, Otis?
Yeah, but this cement's hard.
Crawl over here.
Okay. Hey, who's shooting?
Well, one of two people. Just shot Dr. Langley back on the airstep.
Yeah? Why don't you blast him?
I guess I'll have to. He doesn't want to come out. Otis, crawl over about 12 feet and make him shoot.
Me?
Yeah, I want to get a good line on him. He's behind those oil drums, and I've got to stand up to do it.
Oh, all right. Hey, Diamond, now?
Yes, Otis, now. Okay, like I said, you're the boss.
I've been hit.
Come on, Otis.
Good shooting.
Glad you like it. Well, how about you, Professor?
I'm not happy. I got all three of them.
You won't be around long.
Why did you hit me, and why did you kill the doctor?
I wanted the bag. I thought the jewels were in it.
Aren't they?
No, I opened it back here. I thought the doctor was double-crossing me.
Well, if you ain't got the jewels, why'd you try to kill the old lady?
I didn't.
Oh, come on. This ain't no time to lie.
He isn't lying, Otis. You told me yourself his alibi was good.
Hey, that's right. Then who did?
The one who would benefit most by the death of the woman. The one who had a perfect setup because two con artists could be blamed for it. Let's go.
Yeah, what about this guy? How do you feel, Professor? Oh.
Like I said, Otis, you keep. Come on, let's go.
Well, hello, Mr. Diamond. You come to see the bathing suit?
I hope it comes in stripes.
What?
This is Sergeant Otis. Homicide.
Has someone been killed?
Your aunt.
Oh, no.
Isn't that touching, Sergeant?
Yeah.
But that horrible doctor. We've got to arrest him.
Why would he want to do it?
Why, for the jewels, of course.
Now, put your hat on. You must have known that the doctor was going to get the jewels tonight, so you killed your aunt, knowing he'd get there and wouldn't have an alibi.
Why, you're insane.
The trouble was, he got so scared he ran off without him. So he had no motive.
But it was the professor.
Strike two. He didn't have them either.
You're crazy. You can't prove a thing. I didn't stab my aunt.
Who said she was stabbed?
Well, I just...
Something else tipped me to you. The minute I took a good look at your aunt, I knew it couldn't have been a man who'd done the job.
Why not? You're just presuming.
Because there were no signs of a struggle. Your aunt must have known the killer pretty well.
She knew the doctor very well.
Well enough to meet him with a towel around her head and her wig in plain sight on the dresser?
What?
Yeah. And I got in touch with a lawyer, and he said you was the sole heir to the estate.
Were, Sergeant.
Oh, yeah. You were the sole heir, and I'm arresting you because I were there and saw the wig.
Rick,
Mm-hmm. Wasn't it fun at the fortune teller?
Yeah, he's going to have to think up a new racket. Like contacting the living.
What?
No, forget it. What's to eat?
I'll go look in the icebox.
Bring some milk, will you, dear?
Mm-hmm. If you'll play something.
I'll try.
Oh, no, not again!
Oh, swell. Can't you get on the night shift or something?
I can't get anything around here, especially sleep. Now, please, will you kindly shut your big fat face?
What do you mean? I haven't sung anything yet.
Oh, but you will. I just know you will.
Well, if you insist.
Oh, no, please, please. I'm a nervous man.
Oh, it calms you right down.
Don't blame me for falling in love with you. I'm under your spell, but how can I help it? Don't blame me. Can't you see when you do the things you do? If I can't conceal the thrill that I'm feeling, don't blame me.
Oh, that's pretty. Don't stop.
Oh, I must. Food looks too good.
Did I hear you talking to someone?
Mm-hmm. Listen.
Don't blame me for falling in love with you.
I don't say anything.
Oh, that's funny. He was there a minute ago.
Don't blame me for falling in love with you.
I still don't hear anything. Rick, who are you calling?
Sergeant Otis. I'm afraid the guy next door just cut his throat.
Just heard Richard Diamond, Private Detective, starring Dick Powell. Helen was played by Virginia Gregg. Also in our cast were Wilms Herbert, Ted Osborne, Peggy Weber, and Jack Crucian. Music was under the direction of Frank Worth. Richard Diamond is written by Blake Edwards and directed by Richard Sandville. And now, Dick Powell.
Friends, I want to remind you of the wonderful group of programs NBC has on tap for tomorrow afternoon and evenings. Shows like Hollywood Calling, Guy Lombardo, Four Star Playhouse, and The Ethel Merman Show. For the best in radio listening tomorrow and always, keep your dial turned to your favorite NBC station.
Dick Powell soon will be seen in the screen version of the best-selling novel, Mrs. Mike. Now, this is Eddie King inviting you to be with us again at the same time next week when we will again bring you Dick Powell as Richard Diamond, Private Detective. This program has come to you from Hollywood. Theater Guild on the Air returns tomorrow night on NBC. Frank Sinatra, transcribed as Rocky Fortune. Frank Sinatra, starring as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Hi. Well, I landed myself a new job last week, again. Inside talker on a Manhattan sightseeing tour. Grant's Tomb, Chinatown, the Empire State Building. Brother, I've been. The place that really gets me, though, is the Museum of Ancient History. Man, they got dead people laying all over that joint. Some of them in mummy cases 5,000 years old. Now, I don't object to a few old corpses, but they tried to embalm a fresh one named Rocky Fortune. All right.
right, ladies and gentlemen, as you will note, we are progressing up Central Park West, and on your right is the largest civic park to be found inside the city the size of New York. The bus will stop at the famous Museum of Ancient History next, where we'll take an hour or so to explore the finest collection of natural, nature ever collected, including the Hall of Man, the Egyptian Wing, the mummies of the ancient pharaohs, as well as several of the daddies. And the wildlife exhibit of, wildlife. Any questions?
Yeah, I got a question.
Shoot.
How long you been conducting this tour?
Well, as a matter of fact, lady, this is my first time around.
Yeah, that's what I thought. All my life I ain't been inside a museum even, so I finally decide, Linda Kugelman, it's time for a little culture. So what happens? I get a dodo.
Well, it's life, kid. You gotta take your chances, but I'll do what I can to liven up the tour.
That kind of enlightenment I can live without.
Any more questions?
I'd like to ask a question, if I may.
Anything, yeah, sugar.
Is it true that they all have real dead people inside them their sarcophaguses at the museum?
Yeah, that's right, sugar.
Why, that's scary.
Well, Acme Guided Tours guarantees to protect its clients at all times, sweetie, and seeing that there are only three clients on this tour, why, I'll take special care that nothing happens to you.
Hey, kid.
Yes?
Ixnay on the Eidgay, which means look out for wolves.
If you mean Mr. Fortune, our guide, well, I'm sure he's a gentleman. Aren't you, Mr. Fortune?
Well, it's up for grabs, but I'll try.
Mr. Fortune?
Colonel Portis?
Being in the oil business back in Waco, I'm naturally interested in the natural formations in this part of the country.
Naturally.
Can you tell me, sir, what that formation over that way might be?
Well, if you mean the blonde walking down the street, Colonel, that is a product of the Ice Age. And if you mean the rock-like structure behind her, that's a public washroom in Central Park.
Oh, boy, you should be on television. You're a scream.
Yeah, thanks, Sadie. I was on the radio once, but my mom made me get off. I was scratching the top. Yuck, yuck, yuck. All right, everybody. Everybody out. Museum of Ancient History. Please wear your green tags and follow me. We all pile out of the bus and I lead the way into the museum, wondering how I'm going to fumble my way through the next hour. Right behind me is the cute little blonde from the land of cotton. Behind her is the redhead from Brooklyn. And bringing up the rear is Colonel Porches. Handlebar mustaches trailing like banners. The first place we breeze through is the Egyptian wing. Now, if you folks will all step over this way, we have a genuine example of a rock job brought over from Egypt, which is called, according to the guide pamphlet, a monolith from the Temple of Osiris. Follow me, please. Just a minute.
Sir?
Where's Linda, the redhead from Brooklyn?
Why, she was with us when we went inside that scary old King Pharaoh's tomb back there.
Well, I haven't seen her since we came in here, come to think of it.
I'll give her a blast. Hey, redhead!
Perhaps we'd better conduct a searching party.
Look, I'll go back to the tomb. Colonel, will you take a look in the Hall of Man? And, honey.
Yes?
You better stay right here in case she comes along. We'll all meet back here in 5 minutes. Let's go. I go back to the tomb of King Tut, Amon, or whatever his name is, and walk inside. The place is as empty as Santa's bag the morning after Christmas. I'm just about to leave when I see what looks like a piece of red silk sticking out of a stone sarcophagus that's up against the wall. I go over and give the cover a heave. Inside is the body of Linda Kugelman, stone dead. I turn around to go for the gendarmes just in time to feel a ton of concrete descend on the back of my skull.
Cute laying there, just like Moses in the bulrushes.
Oh. He seems to be reviving.
I'll get some ice for him.
Oh, who dropped that pyramid on me?
Easy, boy.
You'll excuse the expression, but where am I?
The office of the curator. This young lady is Miss Fabian, the curator's secretary. How are you all feeling, boy?
Like I've been sanforized.
I like to thought you all was dead when I came bunky to bunking in that there tomb.
Speaking of dead, did you see the body?
You all was stretched out like a wet corn pone.
Not my body, Colonel. Linda Kugelman's.
The redhead?
She was inside that trunk in there, dead.
The poor man was hurt worse than we thought. I'd better call a doctor.
Hold it, miss. This is no dream. I saw that body inside the sarcophagus.
We'd better open it and have a look.
We'd better not disturb anything.
I think we ought to send for the law, son.
Good. Let's have the phone. Hello, Sergeant Hamilton Finger, please. Here, I'll wait. Hello, Sarge. Rocky. Uh-huh. I got a corpse. In King Tut's tomb. No, it ain't a Halloween joke. It's over at the Museum of Ancient History. Yeah, get your fat feet over here. I'll see you. I spend the next few minutes nursing my noggin until Sergeant Finger flippers in the curator's office. We all head for the tomb of King Tut.
You sure this dame is in there?
I saw with my own eyes, Sarge.
Okay. Who was she?
The name on her tour ticket said Linda Kugelman.
What'd she look like?
Like she'd been around more than once.
This the spot?
Right in here.
You all don't mind if we don't go in, Sergeant. It's scary.
You wait here. Let's go, Rock.
That's it, Sarge. Inside that stone coffin there.
Open the lid.
Right. Holy smokes.
Linda Kugelman. Girl mummy, huh?
I swear she was in that coffin not more than 15 minutes ago.
This guy has been in there 15,000 years by the looks of him.
Somebody moved her.
Rocky, old man, this may come as something of a blow to you. But one more crazy trick like this and I'm going to put you in the closet.
It's no joke, Sarge.
You bumped your head on the stone and thought you saw a body. Now forget it. Come on.
Is she a mean?
There's nothing there but a mummy. Go home, all of you. You mean Miss Linda just vanished? But where? Maybe she's hiding in your mustache, Uncle. Okay, Rocky, now you remember what I said. One more false alarm and I'll throw the book.
By this time, I'm beginning to wonder myself if I really saw a body in that box. I give another yodel for Linda Kugelman, but she doesn't show. So I hustle handlebars and honey back into the sightseeing wagon. As I get the motor started, things begin to happen. Okay, honey?
Yes.
Ready, Colonel?
Ready, son.
Next stop, Grant's tomb.
Just a minute, Mr. Fortune.
What now?
I think I found Miss Kugelman's pocketbook stuck way down here on the seat.
Oh. Let's have a look.
Right here it is.
I guess she won't mind if we open it to find out where she lives. Well, well, look at this stack of letters all wrapped in nice pretty red ribbon.
Son, I think you all had better hand those letters over to me.
Now, just a minute, Pop.
I said hand them over, boy. This ain't no bubble pipe I'm holding against your head.
Yeah, I heard you good. You wouldn't be the gentleman who stuffed Linda's body in that mummy case, would you?
The letters, boy.
Be my guest.
Thank you.
Anything else?
Just loan me the body of your little bus.
Hey.
I'll just take it a few blocks and leave it, son. You won't get in no trouble. Now, if you and the young lady will kindly step out.
Better do like the man says, honey.
Well, I do declare, I never expected a southern gentleman to act like this.
Step down, ma'am. Thank you. Buenas noches. I'll leave the bus a few blocks down.
Honey and I stand there like a couple of outfielders watching one sail over the fence while Colonel Lucius Porches drives away in Ackerman's dinky little sightseeing bus.
What now, Mr. Fortune?
That's a good question, and I wish I had an answer.
As long as we're here at the museum, supposing we finish our tour.
As a matter of fact, baby, that's not a bad idea. Something tells me our friend Colonel Porches had something to do with Linda Kugelman's recent demise. And the removal of her body, too. We hustle back into the museum and I start looking around for one fresh corpse, which is not an easy thing to locate in a place the size of a museum.
But, Mr. Fortune, we've already been in the pharaoh's tomb.
I know, baby, but if that body was moved, it was moved from here. So let's have a look around.
It just doesn't seem possible that somebody carried a dead lady through the halls without somebody remarking about it.
Yeah, you're right there.
Unless there's another entrance to this little old tomb.
Uh-huh.
My goodness, they must have a place there so a party can breathe.
Air conditioning. Baby, Don't ever let anybody tell you you're dumb.
What are you doing?
Just going to have a look behind the vent in this air conditioning pipe.
Oh.
Yeah, oh. That's all right. Whoever killed her came back, conked me, and stuffed the body in that air vent. Come on.
Where to?
The curator's office. I want to make a phone call to my pal Sergeant Finger.
Come in.
Yes?
Pardon me, my name's Fortune, Rocky Fortune.
Oh, yes. My secretary told me. You're the young man with hallucination.
That's right.
My name's Deems, curator of ancient art. What can I do for you?
Call the cops. My hallucination is laying in the air vent with a broken head bone.
Are you serious?
Take a look for yourself if you don't believe me.
Oh, I certainly intend to.
You mind if I use the phone while you're gone?
Help yourself.
Operator, give me the police headquarters. Make it fast. Finger is there in less time than it takes to say Pithecanthropu erectus. And we head for the tomb of King Tut once again.
You say she's in the air vent, huh?
So help me, Sarge. Ask Honey here.
Well?
There she was, as big as life. I was never so scared in my whole life.
The curator's in there now.
Okay, let's go on in.
Oh, I see the police have arrived.
Sergeant Finger, Mr. Deems.
Sergeant, I regret all the confusion this unfortunate man here has caused.
Skip the apologies. Let's see the corpus delicti.
Of course, that's just the point, Sergeant. There is no corpus delicti.
What? Hey, are you kidding?
You can see for yourself. This airway is perfectly empty.
Fortune.
Sarge, I tell
Fortune,
you,
Fortune, you're coming with me.
Now look, maybe we call somebody in for a search.
Nobody gets called, Fortune. You're mine.
Sarge, Hamilton, control yourself
I'm
now.
I'm going to lock you up, Fortune.
You need a charge.
Not in jail, Fortune. In the booby hatch.
I'm telling you.
You're telling me nothing. Now, come on.
Sure. Anything you say, Sarge. Only before we go.
Yeah?
You ever been locked in the tomb?
Not recently.
Well, I got news for you. Locked in one now.
Hey, grab him. The door!
Let it go!
Open it! Come on!
Open it! Oh,
bye now.
I slam the steel fire door shut and take off down the Egyptian wing like Pharaoh with the frogs after him. I hear Finger get the door open again and his delicate brogans come pounding down the marble in hot pursuit. Arguing with his Stone Age Dick Tracy is like flagging down a bomber. So I duck into the nearest exhibit, which happens to be the Hall of American Indians. They got a dugout canoe there, 50 feet long, paddled by a gang of wax Indians. I jump in, toss a Navajo blanket over my shoulders, and make like I'm stroking the Carlisle crew.
He came down this way. Fortune! Fortune, come on out!
He must have gone further.
Come on, he can't get far.
Finger and the curator head for the medieval exhibit, and I'm just about to climb out of the canoe when Honey Gal comes in, followed by a couple of little kids on a grammar school outing.
Hey, Sammy, look at that! A real war canoe with Indians and everything! Oh, boy!
Excuse me, little boys. What? Have you all seen a nice-looking, dark-haired young man around?
Uh-uh, lady. Hey, Sammy, look at that Indian with the blanket on him. Boy, is he funny looking.
You sure you all haven't seen anybody?
Uh-uh, lady. Hey, Sammy, dig them ears on an Indian, will
you? If you should see him, little boy, would you tell him that Honey Fairchild is looking for him?
Sure, lady. Hey, come on, Sammy, let's go into the next hall. Oh, they're going to close. Come on.
Does that bell mean they're closing?
That's right, lady. Come on, Sammy. Boy, did you ever see an Indian like that one? Hey, Sammy, let's get out of here. He just winked.
Oh, dear.
Psst.
I beg your pardon.
Psst.
I'm not in the habit of being addressed by strange northern warriors. If you ought... Why, it's Mr. Fortune. I've been looking all over for you, honey. Whatever are you doing in that canoe with those Indians?
Well, if you give me a hand, I'll try to... Uh-oh, here comes Finger and Deems. Play dumb. That shouldn't be hard.
He must have got out.
I don't see how. There are guards at the exits.
Oh, here's Blossom Child. You seen your friend Fortune, honey?
Why, come to think of it, Sergeant, I did see him.
Where?
Well, he went through that door there, and then... Well, why don't you two gentlemen come with me, and I'll show you just where he all went.
Let's go.
Usually, they're really dumb. But every once in a while, you find one who's so good she can even fool smart people into believing she's dumb. Honey Fairchild was one of those. When she'd led Finger and Deems out of the American wing, I resigned from the tribe and climbed out of my canoe. My first stop was the office of the curator of ancient art, Jeremiah Deems. Something told me that all was not kosher with this kid. Anybody home? Deemsy? No? Good. I'll be your guest. Nothing. Nothing. More nothing. Now, why would you keep this drawer locked, Deemsy, old boy? Let's just force it open. And have a look inside. Nothing. Nothing. Something. Seems to me I've seen this stuff before. My darling, it's been so long since... Uh-huh. Let's read some more. I know it is wrong for us to see each other, but...
You'll find the contents of my desk interesting, Mr. Fortune?
It knocks me out.
Anything in particular? Now, don't move. This gun is loaded, and I'm well within my rights to shoot you.
It's all very interesting, especially your tour tag with Colonel Porteous on it. Not to mention these letters that Linda Kugelman was using to blackmail you with.
Yes, I see you recognize them.
I took the liberty of reading a couple. You know, it's a pretty foolish man who writes love letters to a gal like Linda, especially when he's married.
Hand them over.
Help yourself.
You know, it's a pity I had to kill her, but then she wouldn't listen to reason. She bled me white.
You really had me fooled with that fake mustache and the phony Texas accent, Colonel.
Yes, I thought it was rather convincing myself, Mr. Fortune.
How did you manage to get Linda to take this tour?
Oh, quite easily. I suggested that if she took the tour and brought the letters to the museum, we could meet surreptitiously inside the Egyptian wing, and I'd give her the final payment.
Yeah, you gave her the final payment, all right.
She wanted $10,000. I thought I was getting off quite cheaply with only a few cents worth of lead pipe.
Okay, Deems, you're a big success. You pulled off the Colonel Porteous act, you knocked off Linda, shuffled her body around so not even the cops can find it, and you got your letters. The only thing you seem to overlook is little old me.
Oh, not for long, Mr. Fortune. You see, I have plans for you.
I can imagine.
Yes, Mr. Fortune. You're going to become a mummy.
At my age, Doctor?
After I've killed you, you'll be wrapped in mummy dressing and placed inside a sealed stone sarcophagus. Just think. You may not be found for another 10,000 years.
Well, at least until next Christmas, anyway.
Well, you don't seem particularly worried, Mr. Fortune.
I'm not. You see, I've got other plans.
Such as?
Such as putting out the light and leaving... I managed to knock the lamp off his desk and beat it before he can find the range. All I had to do now was figure a way out. The museum was closed, the lights were out, the doors were double locked, and I didn't have a key. I dove through the first door, which happened to be the medieval exhibit. About 100 suits of armor, clubs, wooden horses, and shields. I figure I'd play it smart and climb into a bulletproof suit before Deemsy gets there with the artillery. So I managed to squeeze inside a little number designed by Richard the Lionhearted for the Crusades. I pull on the shoulder plate, pull down the visor, and make like a dead Saracen.
Fortune, I know you're in here. You may as well give up. You can't get out. It's no use, Fortune.
I figure I'll wait him out. But after a few minutes of this, my right arm begins to get tired, since I'm holding it up over my head with a 40-pound axe in it. The arm slips down, and the elbow joint creaks like it ain't had a shot of oil in a few thousand years.
Well, you've given yourself away, Mr. Fortune. Let's see now. Would you be inside the 11th century harbor? No, not there. Perhaps the 13th century suit of armor. Let's lift the visor and have a look.
At this point, I figure I'll take a chance the suit is really bulletproof and go after him with a battle axe.
Ah, then you must be in the English armor, the Crusades type.
You're getting warm, Deemsy. You'll be a lot warmer in a minute because I'm coming after you right now.
Ha ha ha!
Oh, really, Mr. Fortune? Don't you know that arm is so rusted it couldn't possibly move? Oh, you're trapped like a sardine in a can, Mr. Fortune. Like a sardine in a can.
When I try to move, I see that Deemsey's right. I can't budge. I stand there like an iron deer on somebody's front lawn while Deems lifts the visor and pokes his .44 into my bridge work.
Your new suit is very becoming, Mr. Fortune. How do you like it?
If you'll have your tailor grease up the lapels, I'll wear it home.
The tailor's out just now, Mr. Fortune. But after I pull this trigger, you can change it for a wooden one. Right now!
Fortune! Hey, Fortune, where are you?
Oh, in here, over here.
What in the...
Rocky, are you all right?
I think so. What happened?
Miss Fairchild, you convinced me I ought to give the place one more look-see for the redhead's body. I found it in the closet in Deems' office, and we heard the noise and sneaked in here.
How's my boy, Deems?
Boy, I had to put some lead in him. He ain't so good. Hey, how about getting out of them cast-iron overalls?
I'm stuck. No kidding. Sarge, I'm dying in here.
Oh, you poor man. Is there anything I can do to ease the pain?
Yeah. Come to think of it, maybe there is, sugar.
Will you just name it, Rocky?
Yeah. Oil me, will you, kid?
NBC has presented Frank Sinatra as that footloose and fancy-free young gentleman, Rocky Fortune. Others in tonight's cast included June Foray, Gloria Grant, Barney Phillips, Dick Beals, and Dan Riss. Tonight's script was written by George Lefferts. Howard Wiley directed. To tell you about next week's transcribed adventure, here's Frank Sinatra as Rocky Fortune.
This ain't exactly the season for 4th of July celebrations, but next week I'll tell you about the time I almost got to be a Roman candle and the biggest explosion since they took the cork out of Vesuvius. See you around.
Millions of people behind the Iron Curtain are victims of vicious lies about the United States. Yes, communism continues to take the initiative in the propaganda war. We must not only stop the spread of communist influence among peoples that are still free, but we must also fight the tyranny of those it has already enslaved. The support of all Americans is needed. The Crusade for Freedom offers each of us as individuals the opportunity to strike a blow for freedom through Radio Free Europe, an independent, citizen-sponsored organization which broadcasts the message of democracy through the Iron Curtain every day, hour by hour. Join the crusade by contributing your truth dollar. Send your contribution to Crusade for Freedom in care of your local postmaster. Visit with Fibber McGee and Molly tonight on the NBC Radio Network.
The Adventures of the Saint, starring Vincent Price. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris and known to millions from books, magazines, and motion pictures. The Robin Hood of modern crime now comes transcribed to radio, starring Hollywood's brilliant and talented actor Vincent Price as... The Saint.
Come in.
Hi, Mr. Templeton.
Oh, hello, Louie.
Where are you?
I'm in my room. I'll be ready in a minute.
Hey, wait till you see my cat. I gave it a bat for Christmas.
Well, congratulations.
Yeah. Look, I don't want to rush you, but if you don't hurry, Christmas Eve is going to be already Christmas morning. And what'll all them tots think?
Oh, them tots will be singularly fortunate. However, all I have to do now is get my whiskers on. There. How do I look?
Mr. Templar, if I didn't know you was Mr. Templar,
yeah,
I wouldn't know who you were.
Hmm. Louis, don't I look like Santa Claus?
This may come as a surprise to you, Mr. Templar. Santa Claus is fat.
Oh.
You're not fat.
Oh. Well, hand me that cushion from the couch, huh?
Okay. Here.
Ah, thank you. Now then. How's that?
Now say ho, ho, ho.
What for?
Santa Claus is always say ho, ho, ho.
Oh, I see. Ho, ho, ho.
Well, anyway, you look like Santa Claus. Hey, Mr. Temple, whose idea was this?
Mrs. Winterbottom's.
Oh, the dame who annoys tots on Christmas Eve.
Mrs. Winterbottom is a very well-known philanthropist, and every Christmas Eve she collects hundreds of small children and feeds them.
Yeah. Who feeds them the rest of the year?
Don't be bitter, Louis.
Sorry.
At least I ought to give the little tots a laugh.
Yeah. And I suppose there is something to be said for Mrs. Winterbottom.
Don't say it now.
Don't worry.
There's something to be said for Santa Claus, too. He does go around filling stockings.
Yeah, I know a blonde. Shouldn't say that either, huh?
No. Someone at the door. Louis, would you mind?
No. It's probably one of them tots. Correction. It's a tot 20 years later.
Get in.
I'm already in.
Back up.
I'm backing up.
Thanks. Now reach, gents.
Hey, you know, that gun in her hand looks loaded.
Now that you mention...
Reach.
For what?
The chandelier.
I can't.
Why not?
No chandelier.
Oh, a wise guy, huh?
If you're going to shoot me, I insist on knowing your name.
Just call me Sally.
Sally. And your last name?
Never mind that. How would you like to get plugged in the...
Bread basket?
Where?
Oh, let's pass lightly over that. I wouldn't like to get plugged anywhere.
And shut up.
All right.
Where is it?
Right down the hall.
Are you trying to be smart?
Not especially.
So it's going to be like that, huh?
Like what?
Now you listen to me, Fats Boylan.
Huh?
You shut up, too.
I didn't say anything.
Well, shut up anyway.
I'm shutting up.
What was I saying?
You just finished calling me Fats Boylan.
That's right.
That's wrong. I'm not Fats Boylan.
Ha.
Well, it helps keep the conversation
Look,
going.
Look, Fats, are you going to stop stalling and hand over the stuff, or will I have to shoot?
Since I am not Fats Boylan, and since I have no stuff to hand over, I'm afraid you'll have to shoot.
Mr. Templar, that could be fatal.
You keep quiet, punk.
Who's a punk?
You're a punk.
Mr. Templar, am I a punk?
Well, Sally is just a little confused this evening,
confused
Louis.
Confused or not, she shouldn't call me a...
Oh, shut up!
You know, you don't have to start bawling.
I am not... bawling, I...
You were just about to shoot me.
Well, I know, but then you'd bleed.
Oh, I'm sorry.
I can't stand the sight of blood.
Why don't you strangle him?
Louis, don't be unkind. It seems to be the doorbell again.
No, wait.
Oh, it's very impolite to keep people waiting.
But I must have been followed here.
Sally, look, stop illustrating a point with that gun. It might go off.
I don't care.
But then I'd bleed.
But where can I go? I've got to hide.
Well, try the kitchen.
All right.
Oh, come on in. It's open house tonight.
Well, well, my old pal, Fats.
I am not.
Boylan.
Although I'm beginning to waver. Perhaps I am. Simon, the split personality. Who are you?
Joe Hudson. You remember your old pal, Hudson.
Hudson. Well, I must admit you look like a hornet, but your lines aren't as nice. Look, if I'm your old pal, why don't I know you?
Oh, that's easy. We never met personally.
Well, how else can you meet? Ignore that. But if we haven't met personally or otherwise, how can I be your pal?
Oh, I was just being friendly. Besides... Hey, you got something for me.
I have?
great little kidder, ain't you, Fats? Ain't he, pal?
Now I feel better. I'm a pal, too.
Look, I wish I deserved your delighted choice.
Look, but... just leave me have the stuff, and
the
then I'll get...
Stuff again. What stuff?
Am I going to have trouble with you?
The door behind you is open. Why don't you use it, huh? In that way, nobody will have any trouble.
I'll use it. I'll use it after.
After what?
Such like that, huh? Ever see one of these before?
I'm afraid I'm going to disappoint you, but the answer is yes, I have.
Good, good. And you know how it works. It shoots bullets at guys. Guys who get bullet shot at them have a habit of dying.
Really? Well, then perhaps you'd better not shoot that gun at me.
I won't. So gimme.
So I ain't got. Well, that is, I...
That is, you ain't got.
Thanks, Louis.
basic, I ain't a patient man. Hand the stuff over, or
I don't have any stuff.
Or you get shot.
I'd bleed.
Who cares?
I do. I hoped you might. However...
This could be a stall. This could be trouble, so you...
You can't shoot him.
Why not?
It's against the law. I read it in the papers. It's against the law?
Yeah, I believe you.
Oh, well, so that's okay.
Yeah, but I like doing things against the law.
Oh, well, you could go to jail.
I already been there.
Well, for shooting somebody, that they'll hang you or something.
If somebody told them.
Well, I would.
You would, huh?
I would.
So maybe I'd better shoot you first.
Well, I wouldn't want to deprive Mr. Templar of the privilege.
Fats, it's your last chance.
Oh, not that phrase. Also, I still don't know...
So it looks like I'm going to break a law.
Hey, who did that?
You did, you dope.
I did not. This here's a plan. But you won't get away with it.
Goodbye, Mr. Hudson.
Mr. Templar, who made with the artillery?
It must have been Sally. She's in the kitchen.
She can stay there.
She saved our lives, Louis.
Yeah, but maybe by now she's found out she likes to shoot guns.
Let's hope not.
Hello.
It was nice of you to frighten Mr. Hudson off.
I did?
You did.
I didn't hit anybody?
No.
Oh, I'm so glad.
Hey, I've got her.
She's out cold.
Come on, I'll put her on the couch. Yeah. Come on.
It's a little late, but somebody ought to mention she is not a bad-looking dish.
You've mentioned it.
Mm.
Looking for smelling salts in her bag?
No, identification. Here's a driver's license. Her name is Sally Walters. Address, 49 Arden Drive. Social security card. She's a secretary.
That's what I need. Take it back.
She's coming, too. Better put the bag back.
Yeah, but keep the gun, though. There's still some bullets in it.
No. We don't want her to know we went through her bag.
We're ashamed of ourselves?
We're going to pay her a visit.
She ain't home.
But she will be after she leaves here, and then perhaps we can find out what keeps the home fires burning.
Sally was in kind of a hurry leaving us.
So she was.
Mr. Templar, don't look right, Santa Claus chasing a blonde.
I'm not chasing her.
Technicalities will get you no place. Hey, this must be it. 49. What is she a secretary of? The Treasury?
Well, I suspect this is where she works, Louis.
She works overtime, huh?
Yeah, and probably sleeps in. Come on.
I hope that nobody is peeking because they'll think Santa Claus is off schedule.
I think perhaps I can manage without the whiskers.
Yeah.
Ouch!
Now you look like an imposter.
Yeah. Will you ring, Louie?
Okay. You know, this is the type of house I got a feeling Santa Claus would have to use the servants' entrance.
Yes.
I'm Simon Templar.
You are?
I am.
There's nothing I can do about it.
Mr. Templar, all butlers are like him?
I doubt it. I think he's been practicing.
Haw.
Haw.
Well, good night, then.
I think not.
Would you mind removing your shoe from the door?
I would.
You might at least have shined it.
Humphrey, whoever is it at this time of night?
No one, madam.
Oh, but such an interesting-looking no one. Santa Claus, you've lost your whiskers.
I haven't. They're right here in my pocket.
How nice.
Actually, my name is Simon Templar.
I'm Carla Worth.
This is Louis.
Hi. Oh, I mean...
Hi.
Be kind to the peasants type.
Did you want to see me?
Now that I've seen you, yes.
Well, come in, then.
Thank you.
But, madam...
Humphrey, go away.
Yes, madam.
Humphrey's such a problem sometimes. Shall we? Nice?
Yeah. Fire in the fireplace. Books on the bookshelves. Port in that decanter.
Yes, would you like some?
No, thank you. I just wanted to be sure the accessories were all correct. Someday, maybe I'll find some other wine besides port in the decanter. I dream.
Simon, are you the one who found them?
It's beginning again.
Found what?
My jewels, of course.
Have they been lost?
Simon, they were stolen. You know that, don't you?
Should I?
I've heard of the saint, Simon. I didn't know he was also a Santa Claus.
Oh, it's a fleeting impulse.
When were your jewels stolen?
This afternoon. You see, Claude, my husband, that is, bought me them for Christmas.
Santa Claude.
Louis.
Sorry.
We decided to have the party this afternoon. We thought it'd be nice to have a quiet eve, so we did. The jewels were in quite a large box. There were quite a lot of them.
And?
Claude had hired a Santa Claus, but before the party was over, Santa Claus had disappeared. So had the jewels.
Well, there must have been some precautions.
Oh, there were several detectives. But the Santa Claus said he was going out to get some air while the party was on. He never came back. But he didn't have the jewels on him. The box was locked, and it was too large for the detectives not to have noticed.
I see. The name of the man hired to play Santa Claus was, of course,
Bats Boylan. And who may you be?
Claude, this is Simon Templer. Louis.
I know neither of them. Snoops, obviously. Get rid of them.
Claude likes to behave as though he were an emperor on occasion.
The box wasn't found anywhere in the house?
The jewel box, no.
The jewels were insured?
Naturally. It was none of your affair. I shall speak severely to Humphrey. He should never have let you in.
I let them in, darling.
So now he's going to speak severely to her?
We'll go quietly, except, Mr. Worth, what is Fats Boylan's address?
I have no idea. Good night.
Good night, Simon, and I'm sorry.
So am I.
I'll show you out.
Thank you.
Wow, 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 wow.
Pronounced Carla Worth.
Yeah. What do we do now, Santa Claus?
We get into your nice, clean cab and... Hey, wait a minute, Louie. Now we're going to find out what became of Sally.
Simon.
Well, good evening, Sally.
I overheard. Fat's address is 17 Beale Street.
17 Beale.
Yes, I've got to get right back to the house before anybody notices. Goodbye.
An awful short visit.
But long enough.
Now we're going to visit Mr. Boylan?
I think so.
I hope he ain't so handy with a gun as the rest of his characters.
He may be. He may not be.
Now I'm all cheered up.
But there's one thing I'm sure he isn't.
What's that?
Fat.
Quite a change from the Waits dump. Now this is a dump.
Yeah, and Mr. Boylan would seem to be shy.
Mr. Templer, you said something about the one thing he wouldn't be was fat. Why, because he was called Fats?
Not exactly. Louis, I'm worried.
Hey, the door was open.
Yes.
Maybe that means our bird has flown?
Maybe. Come on, let's go in.
Okay. I ain't usually so poetical, but the light's on.
Yes.
And the room looks funny. Looks like a hurricane came to stay for dinner.
And remained for 6 months.
Somebody was looking for a jewel box?
And someone obviously didn't find it. The extent of the search indicates that. Nothing was left untouched.
It's a funny smell in this room, you know. A couple of funny smells.
Yeah. One's perfume and the other...
Gunpowder.
Huh? Gunpowder.
That's why I ain't been looking behind any pieces of furniture.
It really wasn't very far to look, Louis.
Huh?
He's behind the day bed.
Fats?
Fats, Louis.
He ain't doing so good?
He's dead. And Louis...
Yeah?
He wasn't fat.
Mr. Templer?
Yes, Louis?
We're being followed.
Since
we got out of Boylan's place.
Oh, that's interesting. Louis, stop the cab.
That'll make it easier for whoever's following us.
Exactly what I want.
Even on Christmas Eve, this shouldn't happen. Now what?
We get out. Don't look behind you. Start walking.
Yeah. Here is a nice, lonely street. Everybody else is home hanging up stockings. I wouldn't mind hanging up stockings myself. Who do you think it is?
I think it's our friend Hudson.
Oh, I just lost 5 pounds. You mean the guy that was chasing Sally, who was all ready to shoot us until she made the explosion?
Neat reminder.
Oh, you think he wants our money or our life?
Possibly.
What kind of an answer is that?
In here, quickly.
Here. Mr. Templer, this here alley is full of garbage cans.
Also dark.
You don't have to see garbage cans to know they're around. Hudson?
Yes. Good evening, Hudson.
What?
Don't turn around. I've got a gun on you.
Hey, I don't like it.
Louis, take Mr. Hudson's gun away from him.
Okay.
Got it, Mr. Templer.
Good. Aim it at him.
Hey, now, wait a minute. You can't shoot me with my own gun.
Why not?
That ain't tactful.
What other gun could I shoot you with?
Your own. Hey, you mean you ain't got a... Oh, mister, you are a liar.
And on Christmas Eve, too. Hudson, who hired you to follow Sally and me?
It was my own idea.
Louis, Mr. Hudson isn't being friendly.
He ain't, huh?
He ain't. Therefore...
Hey, now, don't lose your heads, fellas.
We've lost patience with him, Louis.
We have?
Shoot him, Louis. He's beginning to bore me.
He's beginning to... I should shoot him?
Yes.
Fatal?
Fatal.
Okay. Except I don't know what my wife and six kids are going to say.
You haven't got a wife and six kids.
No, wait a minute, please.
Louis, we're being cruel, prolonging Mr. Hudson's agony. Put him out of it.
Now, wait a minute.
Who hired you?
Mrs. Worth. Mrs. Carla Worth.
You quite sure?
Strike me dead. That is, don't strike me dead. Look, if she didn't, why would I say she did?
You have a point there. But why should she have wanted you to follow Sally?
Well, she had an idea. Her husband and Sally were kind of,
Decorating their own little tree together.
I couldn't put it more tactfully.
I see. So if you got enough divorce evidence, Mrs. Worth could hold up her husband for plenty of alimony.
No.
No?
Oh, Mrs. Worth is the babe with the dough. Mr. Worth is a very well-educated bum.
Indeed. It's interesting. Louis, let me have the gun.
Yeah, here.
I just told you the truth.
I'm sure you did.
No. Mr. Templer, that's gratitude?
It's necessity.
Oh.
We need him out of the way for a little while. He's out of the way. Now,
Yeah?
Now we're going to find out who else knew that Fats Boylan was thin.
You know, if we visited often enough, I might even get accustomed to this joint.
You might also start confusing yourself with Grant. good evening, Humphrey.
I'm sorry the family retired for the night.
Well, it is late, I know.
I wish to retire myself.
Why, Humphrey, you don't look 65.
Good night, sir.
Aren't you going to ask us in?
No.
Why, Humphrey, I thought you and I were going to sing Christmas carols together.
Let go of me.
Shut the door, Louis.
Okay.
I shall complain.
All right, but not now.
Mr. Templer, I'm going to wear that gun out, hitting people over the head with it.
And I couldn't have him warn anyone we're here.
Why, we're going to burgle the joint?
In a way.
Huh?
And a kind of description would be search the place, Louis.
Oh, for what?
Oddly enough, something that can't be seen or touched.
Sounds like a ghost.
Yes, and in a way it is. The ghost of a murderer.
It's the night before Christmas, all right, but a creature is stirring. A couple of creatures, us.
Yeah, we've covered all the rooms on the other landing. Therefore, the bedroom should be here. And therefore, this should be someone's bedroom. Let's go in.
We're sleepy?
Now, if I can open the door softly enough and look in. Moonlight through the window. Yes. The dressing room. Door beyond would be the bedroom proper.
Proper is not a word we're in any position to throw around.
And we'll have to go in to the dressing room. Come on, Louis.
Okay.
Wait a minute, Louis. Inhale.
Mr. Templer, I don't usually take breathing exercises in the middle of the night.
Louis.
All right. I'm inhaling.
Well?
Perfume.
Familiar?
I could learn to love it, but no.
Well, then out we go.
You didn't care for that perfume?
It didn't tell me anything.
What do you want perfume should tell you?
Who killed Fats Boylan?
Another bedroom. We go in?
Naturally.
For a bachelor, that ain't the word you should have used. I'm beginning to get worried about this. Supposing somebody screams.
Pull yourself together, Louis.
Okay. After all, like the poet says, strong heart never won fair maiden.
You mean faint heart.
All right, so for dinner I'll eat dog food.
Now. Another dressing room. Well?
Mr. Templar.
Yes. The same perfume we noticed.
Uh-oh,
don't be frightened.
Why, Simon, what are you doing in here?
Louis and I have been testing perfumes.
It's the middle of the night. You awakened me.
I'm sorry. I'm even sorrier about something else.
What's that?
The perfume you use is very distinctive, Sally.
Am I supposed to say thanks?
No. Because the last place Louis and I noticed it was in Fats Boylan's room. Minutes after he'd been killed.
Oh.
Not good, Sally.
You're making all this up. No.
This bottle of perfume will be evidence.
But I didn't kill Boylan. You must be joking about that.
I don't think a jury would find it funny. You knew about Boylan stealing the jewels. You must have helped him.
I didn't.
But then you found yourself being trailed by Hudson, who'd been hired by Mrs. Worth. You were afraid he'd discover the connection between you and Boylan. That's why you came to my apartment.
No.
Yes, you hoped I'd throw Hudson off, perhaps frighten him. In the meanwhile, you could get to Boylan, get the jewels from him.
That isn't true.
But when you got to Boylan's place, you found him already dead, and the jewels gone.
I didn't.
It would be much better for you that way.
What do you mean?
You wouldn't be liable to a first-degree murder charge.
But there were detectives here while the party was going on. Boylan couldn't have stolen the jewels. They saw him leave. He didn't have them.
He did have them. He was playing Santa Claus, and he was a thin man. Santa Clauses, as Louis pointed out to me earlier tonight, are fat. Therefore, Boylan entered this house wearing padding underneath his costume. He left it with a large jewel box in place of the padding. That's how he did it, Sally.
You're smart.
You found Boylan. You knew his address. Therefore, you'd hired him in the first place. And therefore, also, a jury would believe you'd killed him unless you tell us who did.
Well, all right. I'll tell you.
There's really no need, my dear.
Claude.
Hey, Mr. Temple, tell him to point the gun someplace else.
Mr. Worth, point that gun someplace else.
I prefer this direction. You were saying, Mr. Temple, about the jewels?
The jewels were insured. Therefore, you, Mr. Worth, arranged to have them stolen.
Indeed.
Indeed. In that way, you could retain the jewels, the insurance money as well, and not worry very much whether or not your wife divorced you. Clever.
Boylan is dead.
How true. You had to see to that, didn't you? Otherwise, he might have blackmailed you for the rest of your life, or for whatever money you got out of the entire crooked deal.
I can see two other deaths. Yours, your friend.
And Sally? You going to kill her, too?
That depends, I should think, on Sally.
Claude, I never knew you intended to kill anyone.
There's no need to play the ingenue quite so strenuously, my dear. You were in on most of it.
But not murder.
I'm afraid Mr. Templer's pessimism is justified. I shall have to include you. But however did you get on to her, Templer?
Her perfume. To be precise,
this perfume.
Well, you got him in the eye.
Yeah, I hope this gets him someplace more effective.
Mr. Templer, the trail of unconscious bodies you're leaving behind you tonight, if laid end to end...
Yes, Louis.
...would look terrible.
Simon.
Yes, Carla?
You've been very sweet. Even without your whiskers, you've been sort of a Santa Claus to me. May I?
Oh, with pleasure.
Well, I never knew Santa Claus could kiss like that.
Santa Claus is no saint.
Yes?
Oh. Hello, Louis.
Mr. Templer, you better put on your whiskers. You've forgotten all about Mrs. Winterbottom?
Mrs. Well, the hour is past midnight. The tots have undoubtedly tottered off to bed by now. Louis, you may tell Mrs. Winterbottom...
I know. That the saint ain't no Santa Claus.
You have been listening to another transcribed adventure of The Saint, the Robin Hood of modern crime. Now, here is our star, Vincent Price.
Ladies and gentlemen, all of us who live in the United States are aware of the spiritual values of American life, our factories and machines and luxuries. But there is another side to American life, a side made up of spiritual values. Our country was founded upon faith in God. In the Declaration of Independence, it states that men were endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights. Thus, religious faith is part of the very foundation of American democracy, and one of our most precious national heritages is freedom of worship. By exercising this freedom, you and your families can enjoy the spiritual pleasures that come with church or synagogue attendance. Moreover, your religious leaders stand ready to give you their help, whether you need personal or family guidance. And if you suffer the loneliness natural to a newcomer to this country, the churches of your faith will welcome you. We all know that without spiritual values, the other advantages of American life have little meaning. Without faith, the family and the community become unstable. Without faith, the individual denies himself the peace and guidance of religion. The doors of your churches and synagogues are open to you. The freedom to worship as you please is yours. And so America's religious organizations invite you to find yourself through faith and to come to church this week. And may I wish you all a wonderful Christmas and for the world, peace in all the years to come. This is Vincent Price inviting you to join us again next week at this same time for another exciting adventure of the saint. Good night.
This adventure of the saint was written by Louis Vittie. Our cast included Mary Shipp as Sally and Betty Lou Gerson as Carla. High Everback was Hudson. Ted Osborne, Claude. The butler, Stanley Farrar. Louis is played by Larry Dotkin. The Saint, based on characters created by Leslie Charteris, is a James L. Safier production and is directed by Helen Mack. Vincent Price is soon to be seen co-starring in RKO's production of His Kind of Woman. All you Saint fans will be glad to know that the Saint comic books are on sale at all newsstands. Your announcer, Don Stanley. Three chimes mean good times on NBC. For your Christmas Eve listening pleasure, there's another broadcast of NBC's Sunday hour-and-a-half extravaganza, The Big Show. There's a whole Christmas stocking full of stars, including Tallulah, Jimmy Durante, Ed Wynn, Charles Boyer, Robert Merrill, and many more. Tonight also means your weekly visit with the Harris family on The Phil Harris Alice Faye Show. Be sure to hear this special Christmas program later today on NBC.
Happy holiday, happy listening. Happy holiday, happy listening. NBC wishes you a season of good cheer. A merry, merry Christmas and a happier new year.
Ladies and gentlemen, the ringing of that phone bell means mystery, adventure.
Nero Wolfe's office, Archie Goodwin speaking. Yes? Yes, I know that in 48 hours it's going to be Christmas, but who is this? Who? Look, I'm a big boy now, so... Okay, tonight at 8. Goodbye.
What the devil was that?
This may come as a shock to you, Mr. Wolfe, but that was Santa Claus.
You've been drinking?
Uh-huh, the usual, milk. He's coming to see you at 8. He's got a problem.
Indeed.
It seems that some low, not to mention murderous character is going around slaughtering Santa Clauses.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's the bulkiest, balkiest, smartest, and most unpredictable detective in the world. That chair-born genius, Nero Wolfe. Created by Rex Stout and brought to you in a new series of adventures over this NBC network in the person of Mr. Sidney Greenstreet.
Began earlier than 8, however, the case of the slaughtered Santas. It began, to be precise, on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. The hour was close to six, the weather cold, the sky dark.
How you doing, Santa?
I'm freezing to death, officer.
It's a cold day. You packing up?
Yeah, I guess so. Not many people around anymore.
Oh, heading for home and dinner. How was the collection?
Well, I don't need no armored car, but a few dozen kids are going to have something for their Christmas stockings.
Your competition, the guy in the opposite corner, is already screaming.
Probably got low blood pressure. Yeah, give me a hand to get the collection part off the chains, eh?
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, thanks.
Yeah, I'll just walk you down the block. Got to phone in.
Okay, fine.
One Santa still left. Wonder what he's waiting for.
Santa Claus.
Well, watch yourself going down those chimneys tonight, eh?
Sure, sure. Well, I'll cut across the avenue here. Be seeing you.
Hey, that car coming down the street. Got its lights out. Look out!
Hey, Peg.
Huh?
Did I ever tell you I love you?
Oh, it's not me you love. It's a hot soup.
Ah, now you're not the only woman who can cook a dish of soup.
Huh?
It helps, though. I'm just beginning to thaw out.
Yeah, that's a cold corner you play Santa Claus on.
Well, don't hurt to make a few bucks. I ain't done so good this past year. Well, maybe the next year it'll be... Oh, well. Besides, I kind of like it, you know. Kids asking questions all day long.
Yeah.
You know, I wonder how they figure the other two Santas at the intersection.
Our kids think of only one thing at a time. Moise?
Sure, Pat. You know, one of their mother Santas got hit by a car tonight.
Oh?
Yeah, packed up a few minutes before I did, started crossing the avenue, and bang! You know, hit-and-run driver.
Oh, gosh, that's too bad. Was he hurt?
Yes, he was killed.
Here's your soup. Oh, with traffic the way it is nowadays... Well, I better take a look at the stew.
Somebody at the door. I'll get it, Peg.
Okay.
Yeah, what? Oh!
Mike!
Wolf?
Yes, Archie?
I've been thinking.
Good heavens.
Oh, I admit it won't bring about a national emergency. But, Mr. Wolf, Christmas is only a couple of days away.
If you're hinting about your present...
No. I was just imagining you behind a team of reindeer.
Your imagination is morbid.
You'd make a wonderful Santa Claus.
Phooey.
You got the perfect build for it. Of course, as for character...
Archie.
Yeah?
Can you picture me scrambling down a chimney?
Well, I might have to build bigger chimneys, but...
Bah.
There's that, too. However...
That is the front door.
True. I was thinking...
You might see who it is.
Well, if nobody's been lying to me on the phone, that'll be Santa Claus.
Let him in.
But I haven't decided what I want for Christmas yet, Mr. Wolf. For example, should she be blonde or brunette, tall or short...
Archie.
On my way. Good evening.
I dislike dawdling on anyone's doorstep.
Well, stop dawdling. Come in, please.
Mr. Wolf has been warned of my arrival?
He has. Through here. Mr. Wolf, this is Santa Claus?
My name is Barton, John Barton.
How do you do, sir?
I have no time for the social graces, Mr. Wolf. I'm about to be murdered.
Hardly in my house. I have objections.
I'm a frightened man, Mr. Wolf.
Indeed.
This costume you see me in is responsible for it all.
Why are you in it?
I had a notion it might be, well, entertaining to play Santa Claus in public. I'm a wealthy man, sir. I can afford to have whims. Therefore, I have assumed this masquerade. However, it apparently is going to be the death of me.
Mr. Barton, you have adequately conveyed an atmosphere and an emotion. I suggest you concentrate on facts now.
Very well. I have been acting as Santa Claus for the Tuberculosis Fund. My station is the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle Avenue. I might add the northeast corner.
Why?
Because at that intersection there have been two other Santa Clauses. One on the southeast corner and one on the southwest corner.
Three Santa Clauses, then, on three corners.
Yes. Now then, earlier tonight, the man on the southwest corner started home. He was crossing the avenue when he was run down and killed by an automobile.
A regrettable accident.
The car was running without lights. It deliberately ran the fellow down and then vanished. Not an accident, Mr. Wolf.
You saw this yourself?
I did. One Santa Claus dead. The man on the southeast corner got home all right. According to the radio news flash, that's where he was killed, by bullets.
Coincidence?
Possibly, but I wouldn't want to risk my life on the chance.
This is Friday night. In the nature of things, you would have made two more appearances. Very well, Mr. Barton.
I'll write you a check as a retainer, then hurry along home. I'm late now.
No.
I beg your pardon.
You will neither hurry home nor notify anyone at your home of your whereabouts.
But
I... You remain here until such time as I think it's safe for you to leave. The house is well guarded.
I can't do that.
In which case, I cannot accept you as a client.
I fail to understand.
Mr. Barton, it is very easy to murder someone. Avoiding the consequences of such an action is something else again. However, I'm assuming that you're not primarily interested in what happens to your murderer after you're dead.
Of course not.
Therefore, you remain here. Archie?
Yep?
First, the corner of 34th and Carlisle, a complete report.
But that's nonsense. The corner will be deserted now.
Mr. Barton, you're hiring my intelligence. You will therefore permit me to use it as I see fit. A complete report, Archie?
Right, sir.
You will then visit Inspector Kramer at headquarters. You will, in whatever manner you find effective, collect all the police information about the two already murdered Santas.
Fine. The manner, I think, will be applying a blowtorch to the inspector's toes.
Your levity is ill-timed.
The inspector is likely to throw me out of my ear.
Your problem.
My ear.
And on your way home, you might stop in at Mr. Barton's place.
I don't see any purpose in that.
Mr. Barton, there is a basic problem to which we must find an answer. Whether those two men were murdered because they were Santa Clauses, or because their deaths were merely preliminaries to yours. Archie, I suggest haste.
Yes, sir.
And avoid blondes.
Hmm?
I would like you to be home in time for Christmas.
Hey, Bud.
Yeah?
Got the price of a cup of coffee?
You sure you mean coffee?
Either you're gonna dig it up or you ain't. Never mind the questions about my personal affairs, see?
Oh, I apologize. Here.
2 bits. Thanks.
You're welcome.
Don't let me keep you.
You're not. 34th and Carlisle, huh? During the day filled with milling throngs. Hey, that's a nice phrase. I'll have to remember it. Milling throngs. And now desolate and deserted. Well, that's life.
Is that a fact?
That's philosophy.
Yeah? Well, for 2 bits, I don't have to listen to no philosopher, see? Good night, Bud.
Uh-oh. The inspector's got company.
If all you reporters will shut up and ask your questions one by one, I'll answer them.
Inspector Kramer, it's true a couple of Santa Clauses have been knocked off tonight?
It's true that 2 men who have been employed as Santa Claus by charitable organizations have been murdered, yes.
Any connection between those 2 guys, or does somebody just hate Santa Claus?
You know, so far as we know, there is no connection.
That means it could be maybe some kind of maniac who decided he doesn't like Christmas or Santa Claus. Is that right?
And the department is investigating along those lines.
Like how?
Well, we're checking all the local asylums for possible escape lunatics.
Yeah, but Inspector, suppose this nut has never been in an asylum.
That'll be all, boys.
Oh, but listen.
I said that'll be all. Now, anything new comes in, you'll get it, understand? Hey, good one.
Hello, Inspector.
Yeah, I spotted you coming in. What happened? You decided to reform and got a job on a paper?
Nope. I'm a public-spirited citizen, that's all.
Yeah, I could add a few things to that description with practically no strain at all.
Mr. Wolf and I are very sentimental about Christmas. We object to Santa Claus as being killed.
Nuts.
Oh, Inspector, aren't you in favor of Christmas?
I'm in favor of Christmas. I'm in favor of motherhood.
Leave motherhood out of this. Neither of us are mothers. Our chances of becoming mothers aren't too good either. And furthermore,
Okay, you're not given. So get out of here.
Thank you, Inspector.
But Goodwin, in case Wolf decides to send me something for Christmas, you know what I wish he'd send me?
What?
Your head.
Well.
Oh.
Now I know what I want for Christmas.
What did you say?
I said my name is Goodwin and it's cold on your doorstep.
Oh, I'm sorry. Come in.
Mm-hmm. You didn't mention your name.
I'm Laura Barton.
Mrs. Laura Barton?
No.
Fine, fine. That is, what relation are you to John Barton?
His niece. Why do you ask?
Oh, you've got a beautiful voice. All this marble and no butler?
Well, I don't know where Pleasant is. He should be here.
Have him shot at sunrise.
Oh, Laura.
Wayne, this is Mr. Goodwin.
Never heard of him. What does he want?
Well, I don't know.
Wayne what?
Stevens.
Uh-huh. Friend of Mr. Barton?
Half-brother, but we seem to be doing all the answering. How about your answering some questions, Goodwin?
I'll try.
Come into the library. What do you want?
For Christmas? Erase that. I would like to see Mr. Barton.
He's not home.
Where is he?
Don't you know?
I wouldn't have come here asking for him if I did, would I?
I suppose that's true. What did you want with him?
Conversation.
About?
Anything. You see, I like to talk to rich men. Are you rich?
I can't play the piano either.
You could always learn. But being rich is harder, I found.
Mr. Goodwin, you must have some reason for coming here. Some reason concerning Uncle.
Laura, you're being imaginative.
Well, Uncle is late.
He's probably still on that street corner playing Santa Claus. He enjoys it. Why bother about what...
I don't know, except...
He's never been as late as this?
Well, no. Not since he started that masquerade of his.
Would you happen to know where the butler is?
Out getting drunk, I suspect. He was in the kitchen a little while ago. Disappeared. Pleasant likes to look on the wine when it's red, or even when it's rye. No, I take that back.
Oh, you do?
He prefers Irish whiskey. We don't stock it, therefore...
Oh, too bad. I better run along. Good night, Mr. Stevens. Miss Barton.
Good night.
I'll see you out.
Prettiest butler I ever saw. Blonde. Now, old Dr. Titmouse always said, beware of blondes because...
Mr. Goodwin, I...
Well, I'm waiting.
Well, I... Mr. Goodwin, you must know something about Uncle, something you didn't want to tell us.
Makes you think so.
Well, otherwise, your visit was just pointless.
Let's suppose I know. Now, I might be a kidnapper.
Oh, no.
My honest brown eyes.
Your first name is Archie, isn't it?
Archie? Archie Goodwin. Goes together nicely, don't you think?
You work for Nero Wolfe. You're going back to him now?
I might be, but then again, I might be going to the movies.
I recognized you. Your pictures have been in the papers. Take me with you to see Mr. Wolfe. You can trust me.
I never trust blondes.
Oh, that's unfair.
Well, no, I don't trust brunettes either. Furthermore, I'm not sure Mr. Wolfe would want to see you, so I... Yeah.
So?
So why don't you, trail me home,
Archie?
Archie? Where's Santa Claus?
Guest room. He was tired.
I've been trailed home.
Indeed?
By a blonde.
Phooey.
All right, I admit I didn't make any strenuous effort to shake her off, but she trailed...
Where is she?
Outside.
Good. Your report.
Oh, but she might freeze to death out there.
That's her problem. Your report, Archie.
It's short and simple.
It would be simple.
I haven't got time to resent that. A blonde is dying. As for the report... Corner of 34th and Carlisle is a very quiet spot at night. No one was around, but a bum who got into me for a quarter. For coffee, he said.
You will not put that quarter on the expense account.
Stop worrying. That was a private gesture. There were four corners. Corner number one had a dress shop on it. Corner number two, a drugstore with a beautiful redhead in the window making with a hair rinse. The ad said her name was Noreen, but it didn't give her phone number.
Archie.
Third corner was devoted to a shoe store, and the fourth corner had a bank on it.
A bank?
Kind of thought we'd have a pause at that point. Mean something?
Inspector Kramer's information consisted of...
Oh, you're being coy. Kramer furnished the information the police could find no connection between the two murdered Santas.
Except for the fact that they were both playing Santa Claus.
Well, isn't that a little on the obvious side?
This is an obvious case. The Barton home, Archie.
Marble and old lace. The butler, his name is Pleasant, was among those missing. Among those present... Laura Barton, the old man's niece, and Wayne Stevens, his half-brother.
Ah.
Yeah, only for Laura. Stevens was not at all pretty.
It was Laura Barton who followed you here.
It was Laura.
Archie, go upstairs and...
Oh, now, wait a minute. The girl, the weather, common humanity demands that you have...
Louis, you speak for yourself, not humanity.
I'm human.
On occasion, a debatable point. Very well. Let her in.
Oh, thanks. Laura.
Yes?
Come in. Laura Barton, Mr. Wolf.
How do you do?
How much money do you inherit on the death of your uncle?
What?
That is known as the shock treatment. However, I need an answer.
Uncle isn't dead, is he?
That, for the moment, is irrelevant. How much?
Half his estate.
The other half?
Wayne, Uncle's half-brother.
Very well. Archie, will you go upstairs and inform Mr. Barton that his niece is here?
Uncle is here?
On my way.
Yes?
Archie, Mr. Barton.
Come in.
Mr. Wolf would like you to come downstairs.
I suppose he has a reason.
Mm-hmm. A blonde reason, your niece.
My niece?
That's right. She did. Hey, where'd you get that?
A man of my wealth finds it safer to carry a revolver.
Yeah, but it's not safe to point it at people, especially for the people.
Turn around, Goodwin.
But, Mr. Barton, we're protecting you.
By letting that girl into the house? If I had the time, I'd be amused. As it is!
Good heavens.
Santa Claus came early.
You're ahead.
Which one are you referring to, my own or the one Santa gave me?
You had better sit.
No, I had enough trouble getting up a little while ago. I'm staying out of any positions in which I might have to do that again. Mr. Barton is among the missing.
Indeed.
Mm-hmm. Hit me on the head and used the back exit. I checked with Fritz in the kitchen on the way here.
He offered a reason for his peculiar behavior?
Laura Barton.
So?
I don't understand. Uncle wouldn't do...
Uncle apparently has. He also would appear, fancies himself in costume.
Well, he used to be very much interested in the stage. He acted for a while a long time ago till the family objected to...
Archie?
Got it. Nero Wolf's office. Archie Goodwin speaking.
You recite very nicely, Goodwin. This is Kramer. Let me have Wolf, huh?
Mr. Wolf? Inspector Kramer.
Yes, Inspector?
The papers haven't been carrying it, Wolf, but you're working on the Santa Claus case, aren't you?
Possibility?
You didn't send Goodwin down to headquarters on a possibility. Never mind. We're working on a line down here, Wolf. Now, look, if it doesn't strain your professional ethics, you might be able to help.
How?
There's a bank on the corner of 34th Street and Carlisle. We got the thought that suppose a gang was preparing to take that bank tomorrow morning. Those Santa Clauses have been on the corner for nearly a week now. They might have noticed something about the bank's routine, guards or what have you, that could interfere with the gang's plan.
A mighty ingenious and imaginative thought, Inspector.
Hey, you didn't say yes or no.
I have at the moment no opinion.
That's all you're going to give us?
At the moment. However, Inspector, in a very little while I shall give you the murderer. Archie, Miss Barton will remain here. As for you...
Yeah?
You return to 34th Street and find our coffee-loving friend. You will persuade him in whatever manner you think best to return here with you.
Huh?
Yes. You know, I think it possible you may be able to put that quarter on the expense account after all.
You.
What? Oh, why? I've seen you before.
Yeah, I've learned to love the neighborhood. That's why it's going to break my heart.
What is?
Leaving it with you.
With?
It's sensitive about having guns pulled on me tonight.
Let go of me, will you?
Not until
I tell you that, McGill.
Yeah. Gun looks in a lot better shape than you do. You're coming with me.
Oh, where?
Mr. Wolf would like to see you.
Nero Wolf?
Yeah.
Well, why?
He's trying to salvage a quarter.
Archie.
Uh-huh. Complete with the... He wouldn't give his name. He did have a gun to it, though. This one.
Yes. Archie, you know Miss Barton, of course?
Hi.
And Mr. Stevens? He joined us a moment ago. Miss Barton thought she'd be happy if he were here.
Hello, Stevens.
That's not the only reason I came. My brother is still missing. I'm concerned.
Yes. You, sir, will you sit down? Watching people stand makes me uncomfortable.
I don't have to.
You do. Archie is stronger than you are.
All right.
That's better.
If you don't mind, Mr. Wolf, I've never been here before, never met you. But you look as though you could handle things. I think my brother's been kidnapped.
Possibility we should have to consider. Miss Barton, perhaps you have a theory, too?
Well, I don't know. Uncle's been behaving strangely for weeks now.
In what way?
I'm not sure. Wayne...
Well, of course, John's always been a little peculiar, but I'm afraid I saw nothing especially strange, outside of this Santa Claus stunt, of course.
I see. Miss Barton, your uncle played Santa Claus all week on one of the corners of 34th Street in Carlisle.
I know.
On two other corners, two other men indulged in the same activity. Those two other men are now dead.
Oh, no.
Wait. Mr. Wolf, you mean they were killed by mistake for Barton?
It is true that one man made up of Santa Claus looks very much like any other man similarly costumed. But the answer is no. One of the two men was shot in his home after he had removed his costume.
Well, then, what connection?
Miss Barton, in the event that you wanted to hide a tree, where would you hide it?
Hide a tree? Why, I wouldn't even begin to know.
If you were very clever, you would hide it in a forest. If you wanted to hide a murder and were very clever, you would adopt the same principle.
Wait, you mean that if someone wanted to kill Uncle and didn't want to be suspected, he'd...
Go about murdering several people with an ostensible, if lunatic, reason. He would, let us say, go about killing Santa Clauses.
I get it. Then people would think the man he really wanted dead for a special and private reason had been killed for something that didn't point to him.
True. That was why two Santa Clauses were murdered tonight. The third Santa Claus, however, the real object of the murderer's attention, was luckier. Or suspicious. He fled.
Do I have to hang around here and listen to all this?
You do, my unwashed friend. Mr. Barton fled, and the murderer was in a quandary. He had, so to speak, invested in two murders merely to make the third one confusing. But he found himself unable to commit that third murder. He couldn't find his victim. Could he ask the police to do so? Hardly. But he might try to inveigle a private detective such as myself into the job.
That makes sense, Mr. Wolf, but... Why would my brother have deliberately fled from your house? I mean, he was protected here, so... But do I make myself clear?
Very clear, Mr. Stevens. Archie, that gun you took from that dirty gentleman, you still have it?
I still have it.
Then would you mind pointing it at Mr. Stevens here until the police remove him?
All right, come along, Stevens.
Well, that's the end of Mr. Stevens. Inspector Kramer will take good care of him from now on. But now, Mr. Wolf, Laura and me and the refugee from a washcloth over here would still like to know how and why and who was involved.
I knew two people had a motive for John Barton's death. Laura Barton and Wayne Stevens. One of them proceeded to kill Santa Clauses in the hope that the police would assume those killings to be the work of a lunatic.
The paper certainly hopped on that assumption.
Yes. However, John Barton, aware that his life was in danger, escaped his murderer and hid.
In this house?
No. A man in Santa Claus costume came here and said he was Barton. However, he was an obvious imposter. He proved that by his flight when his niece came here.
You mean he could fool you, but he knew he wouldn't be able to fool me, so...
Precisely. Therefore, was not Barton. Who was it? Who else had disappeared at the propitious moment?
The butler, Pleasant.
True. I distrust coincidence. Stevens needed an accomplice, hence he sent Pleasant here.
And Pleasant would give you a song and dance about Barton's danger and then scram. You'd start investigating, discover Barton was missing, try to find him, and lead Stevens to his victim, huh?
I frustrated that part of the plan by insisting on Pleasant's remaining here, which he did until...
That part of it's fine. But how did you choose between Laura and Stevens?
It was Stevens who knew, without being told, that Barton had been in his house and had fled from it.
Yeah. You yourself mentioned that Stevens had only been here a moment, so you hadn't told him.
Obviously, the butler phoned him as soon as he had hit you over the head and escaped. Furthermore, the butler masquerading as Barton had attempted to throw suspicion on Miss Barton. That convinced me of her innocence.
Well, you've done it again, Mr. Wolf, except for one minor detail.
You're not very successful at irony, Archie. What minor detail?
Where is Barton?
In this house.
Huh? When did that happen?
You arrived home with the gentleman sitting near you.
The bum? Wait a minute. This I ought to be able to figure out myself. Laura said Barton used to be an actor. That's item one, huh?
Yes, Archie.
Also, why is a supposed tramp hanging around a deserted intersection for handouts? The answer is he wasn't. He was keeping an eye out for trouble he knew was after him. Oh, so it turns out I gave a quarter to a millionaire.
Uncle, your uncle. Oh, that is,
I know, my dear. Yes, I'm uncle. I did rather a decent job, didn't I? No one recognized me. Except, of course, you, Mr. Wolf.
Not recognition, Mr. Barton. Logic. Archie, open some beer for us.
Yes, sir.
Logic, eh? Well, whatever it was, Mr. Wolf, I owe you a good deal. How can I ever repay you?
Oddly enough, the answer is simplicity itself. Make out a check.
You have been listening to The New Adventures of Nero Wolfe, starring Sidney Greenstreet. Tonight's transcribed story was based on the characters created by Rex Stout. This is an Edwin Fadiman program produced and directed by J. Donald Wilson. In the cast were Larry Dobkin as Archie Goodwin, and Howard McNear, Grace Lenard, Vic Rodman, Herbert Butterfield, Bill Johnstone, Gene Bates, and Bob Bruce. Next week at this same time, Nero Wolfe and Archie will bring you The Case of the Bashful Body. Don Stanley speaking. Three chimes mean good times on NBC.
And on the beach, you'll see the girls in their bikinis. As cute as ever, but they never get them wet.
The scene has been...
You knew the job was dangerous when you took it.
Radio production.